At this moment, it's hard to see beyond COVID-19 and what life will be like when it's no longer the most pressing matter in front of us. Illinois State University professor and archaeologist Abigail Stone sees the pandemic and time in a different way. This fall, she's teaching a new course called Plagues, Pandemics, and People, Using Disease to Look at the Human Condition. She tells Ryan Denham the class will start by looking at the Black Death that hit Europe, Western Asia, and Northern Africa in the 1300s, as well as malaria. The effects on the body are just the start.
But then we'll get into, because I'm an anthropologist, more of the social effects. We'll talk about, for example, with the Black Death, how it didn't strike all parts of the population equally. People who were concentrated in cities were much harder hit. Poorer populations were much harder hit. Because they couldn't get away from other people, whereas people who could retreat to their country estates were spared to a larger extent.
With COVID, it is easy to wonder, you know, how much of this is permanent, you know, like Zoom meetings or hand washing or masks. Like, how much of this is going to be a permanent part of our lives after? And in history, I wonder if you can think of any examples of things that originated or spawned during a pandemic or a plague and then kind of lingered long after, something that became permanent.
Well, I mean, the idea of quarantine came out of various groups in I think Croatia trying to respond to the Black Death. So just, you know, the basic disease control comes out of that. But there's some people who argue that things like the Renaissance happened in Italy as a result of the Black Death, because people were seeing so much death and destruction around them that they became newly focused on spirituality and newly focused on patronizing the arts as a means of kind of understanding existence here on earth, but also tying themselves to a future, a heavenly future. I think that's not incontrovertible. There'd be arguments against that, but there's certainly people who say that something like the Renaissance is a direct result of the Black Death in Europe.
You know, with COVID, we are still very much learning how it interacts with the human body and, you know, who has antibodies, right, who's just not going to get it, who is really susceptible to it. So can you maybe go one level deeper on the evolutionary component to pandemics and plagues? I mean, the people who survive or who never get it, does that branch of our genetic line sort of carry on in a different way than those who perish or get sick?
Yeah, I mean, with a severe disease like something like the Black Death, it's a major selective event. And so it, you know, the 20% of people who survived those kinds of infections, they had some sort of different genetic variation compared to the rest of the population, at least many of them did. And so that genetic variation becomes more common in the population there. Thereafter, that, you know, it's kind of a founder effect of people who have this beneficial mutation of whatever sort, then are more common in the population and then spread it throughout the population. And in the case of malaria, we use resistance to malaria in the form of sickle cell trait as kind of the classic example of a disease acting on human populations in terms of natural selection. So populations in parts of Africa that had high levels of endemic malaria developed this mutation, which is just a single change of one letter of the genetic code that led to this alternate form of the hemoglobin cells. And that led to resistance to malaria infections. Although the downside is that if you have two copies of that mutation, then you get sickle cell anemia, which is a very deadly disease. So it's a good example that I use with my students in my introductory classes to talk about how evolution isn't perfect. It's not this march towards a more perfect form, because we have these selective events that lead to fixes that happen, so a way to survive malaria infections, but also can have huge downsides.
What is this moment in life like for an anthropologist, someone who kind of sees the arc of time in a bigger way than most of us do?
Well, I mean, I think it's reassuring, because you see that humans have survived through all of these different adverse events over time. I mean, it's scary in certain ways, because you see how big of a disruption a disease can be, or just, you know, any kind of events in human history can be. But humans have survived and things have in many cases gotten better in certain ways, unexpected ways. And so I'm hopeful in certain ways that things can change. And the confluence of this current pandemic with the Black Lives Matter movement that's seeing a big moment right now, I feel optimistic that it could be a moment of truly profound transformation in our society. And we can see in the past that big transformations have happened as a result of these kind of upheavals. I also, though, I have two kids and I have to remind myself to put on my archaeology hat, and think about the bigger picture, because most of the time I'm just exhausted and running after children and changing diapers and things like that. So
that's Illinois State University professor and archaeologist Abigail Stone speaking with Ryan Dunham about her new class this fall called Plagues, Pandemics, and People.